Come on, lift your hands, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God been good to you.
Yes, sir.
Come on, we can do better than that. Has God been good to you?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Yes, he has. He's been better to us than we have been to ourselves. Amen. And he is worthy of our praise and of our worship. Hallelujah. I want to take just a second and thank Brother Kevin and Sister Becky. When I was back in February and March, I was in the hospital rehab for over 30 days with my back pertaining to the tumor and all, and to be honest with you, I didn't know whether or not I'd come out of there, but God is still God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He's still God, and every time I reach the point where I feel like he's ready to call me in the house, for some reason he comes up with a reason to keep me here. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I've grown in God's grace and realized that sometimes you got to go, even if you got to go by yourself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus said, you're going to leave me alone, but I'm not alone. Hallelujah. So we are truly never alone because God is always with us. But I thank him for his grace and for his mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. And so there's something that God's placed in my spirit that I want to share with you all this morning. And if you would turn with me to the gospel according to John, chapter 4. John chapter 4. And while you're turning, I sure do hope that Brother Kevin be able to come to my appreciation service. It'd be wonderful if he could do two selections at the service. You know, God is 4 days late, but he'll be right on time. Amen. I'd love for him to do that one. And then, you know, even in the valley,
God is good.
God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Those two would really bless me on next Saturday at 3:00.
Well, you gotta have Sister Barbara come with me. That's the.
She's already there. Amen. Hallelujah. She's already there. She's waiting for you to get there. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I want to begin reading in verse 46, and we'll read down through verse 54. Amen. John chapter 4. If you're there, we say amen.
Amen.
All right. And the word of God reads, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. They said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed in his whole house. And this again, the second miracle, that is, that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk just for a little while on the subject of the stages of faith. The stages of faith. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you now for this opportune time. We ask God that your Holy Spirit would be the ultimate teacher, preacher in this room. We ask for forgiveness of all of our sins, that we may be holy and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and redeemer who liveth. I pray, Father, that you would give me a supernatural amount of strength and energy, a miraculous amount of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God, receive all your glory that you're worthy to be receiving, Lord God. And I ask that you allow me to speak with clarity and with simplicity in such a way that even a little child might be able to understand. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace, and your mercy. And most important, we thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we do pray. Amen. The stages of faith. What happens between believing? Between believing. For some of us that might be confusing, but from the moment that we believe in Jesus Christ, as far as what he's able to do, we have not yet arrived necessarily at believing in who he is. And so what happens between believing? Many back in those days believed that Jesus could do miracles, but they did not believe that he was the Son of God. And so what happens in between believing? There are stages of faith. We know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so as we look at this chapter here in chapter 4, we know that it's the chapter that's famously known for the woman at the well, whom Jesus ministered to and told her all that she had ever did. And when she realized that she was talking to the Messiah, she dropped her pail and she ran back to town and she told everyone, she said, "Come and see a man who told me all I ever did." And they came out to see Jesus and spent some time with him. And after they heard Jesus for themselves, then they too believed in him. And they said that since we have heard him ourselves, we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know, it doesn't matter what anybody tells us about Jesus, but until we hear him for ourselves, amen, somebody. And then the text says in verse 43 through 45, it said Jesus spent 2 days with them over in Samaria. He spent 2 days further with them after they believed on him. And then it says, and then he went into Galilee. Verse 44 says that Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his own country. So instead of Jesus traveling back home to Nazareth, which would have been southeast, he travels northeast to Capernaum in Galilee. And the verse says in verse 45, it says, and when he was coming to Galilee, it said the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went to the feast. So these Galileans would have been people who had traveled up to Jerusalem during the feast when Jesus was there, and they saw Jesus perform some miracles, but they had not spent a great deal of time with Jesus. They had returned back home to Galilee. But when Jesus comes through town, they remember this is the one who performed miracles. So then in verse 46, it says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee. And it says where he made water wine. And it says, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now what we see in verse 46 and also we look in verse 47, we see it says, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and he besought him that he come down and heal his son. Now what we see in verses 46 and 47 is we see the beginning stage of faith, or the beginning faith. And I say the first stage is the beginning faith, because all you need is a desperate situation in order to call on Jesus.
That's right.
You just need to be to have a desperate need, or you really only even need to hear about Jesus just to call on him, or you just need to come to Jesus. These are all beginning stages of faith. And when we look at it, it said that he came to Jesus and he asked Jesus to help him. It literally means that he begged him. He pleaded with him and he kept on begging him. The Bible teaches us in these two verses. But as I said earlier, when you have a desperate situation, your child is sick, and maybe you've gone to everybody else that you can go to. This man in this situation perhaps had. But it got to the point to where I've got no choice but to call on Jesus. It's just the beginning stages of your faith when you call on Jesus. And some people, I'm afraid today, my brothers and sisters, are still in their beginning stages of faith. And what I mean by that is they only call on Jesus when there's a desperate situation. They only call on Jesus when there's a desperate need, when there's sickness, maybe when the bills need to be paid, maybe when the friends have walked off and left you. It's just the beginning stages to call on him when there's a desperate need and situation. It says here that this man has a desperate situation. We know it's desperate because it says that his son is at the point of death. Lord, have mercy. Many people talk about the goodness of the Lord and how he woke him up this morning and so on and so forth. But they don't really serve him, Brother Kevin. They don't serve him. They don't have a ministry. They don't have a position in God's house. They don't really do anything for the Lord. But let something happen. Let a tragedy come up. Then all of a sudden it's, Lord, have mercy. And you know, kind of like Peter when he was walking on the water. You know, when he began to sink, Lord, save me. And we can get that out real quick when something happens in our lives. And so the first stage is just a beginning faith. And I say that it's a beginning faith because we all not want to be 20 years where we were when we first started in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced, my brothers and my sisters, that that's the reason why God continues to allow bad things to happen to good people. It's the reason why God, in spite of us being even faithful and committed to God and serving him to the best of our ability, he still allows things to happen in our lives. Negative things. Rather, it's with our health or what have you. You can be serving God to the best of your ability. You can be dotting every I and crossing every T. And do you know you can still get sick? And many people will tell you it's because you don't have faith. No, it's not because you don't have faith. It's because God is increasing your faith. Because there are some things that God wants you to do in the future down the road that is going to require more trust in him in the future than you have today. It takes faith to sit in a chair. It takes greater faith to walk on water. And so when we keep reading, we see the first stage of faith is the beginning faith. But there's a second stage, my brothers and my sisters. Look with me in verse 48 and 49. It says, then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And no man said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Now the reason why I say there's different stages is because this second stage is a different level than your beginning faith. The second stage of faith is persistent faith. So you've got a beginning faith, and then stage two is persistent faith. Now I say persistent faith because, watch this, there's a lesson in faith that we need to learn. Jesus said in verse 48, this man has requested that Jesus come and heal his son because he's at the point of death. But in verse 48, Jesus responds by saying, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Now, ye is plural. Now, only one person has asked Jesus to come and heal his son. But Jesus includes everybody in his response. He includes everybody in his response because he wants us to understand that just because this man needs Jesus right now, sooner or later, everybody's going to need Jesus. I wish somebody would have shouted right about there. Because you see, just because I'm going through my situation right now, And you may not be dealing with what I'm dealing with, but if you keep living long enough, come on somebody, sooner or later, what I'm going through might show up on your street corner. Hallelujah. And if you don't miss it and you watch closely, you'll see that if you take notes on how I deal with my situation, then when that storm comes down your street, you'll know how to deal with it in your situation. Good God Almighty. So he says, except you see signs and wonders. Now here's where the persistency comes in. Jesus here, it's that what he's saying, what Jesus is saying to this man is what you're saying is that I need to show you a sign and I need to show you a wonder before you can believe. Because the point that Jesus is getting to is, if you really trust me, if your faith is as strong as you portray it to be, if you've got more than just beginning faith, then I don't have to come down to your house to heal your son. God, I ain't got it yet. I don't have to come down to your house, but all I got to do, Brother Kevin, is just speak a word from where I am and your son can be healed. So that's why we got to understand is that, you know, what stage of faith are we in today? Are we still in the beginning stage where we need to go and grab Jesus by the hand and walk him down to our situation? Or can we trust him enough to just speak a word and then turn around and go and know that it's done? And I know that a lot of people are still in the beginning stages because, you know, we come to church with our head down. And we tell them, we say, you know, well, God is able, he's going to fix it. You know what they say? I sure do hope so. It's going to be all right. It's going to get better. Well, I don't know, Reverend. I don't know. I've been dealing with this for a long time. I don't know. Beginning stages. But this takes persistent faith because Jesus is basically saying, he's addressing the man and the crowd, and he says, and everybody needs to get this. And so we got a lesson in faith here, and when it comes to persistency, but we also have a desperate instance. The man cries out in verse 29, and no man said unto him, he said, sir, he said, please, you got to come down or my child is going to die. Even though Jesus basically says to them, except y'all see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And he's basically procrastinating. He's basically not moving the way the man wants him to. But the man does not give up. He continues to ask Jesus to do what needs to be done. That takes persistency. When you've been dealing with something for a long time, but you're still asking God to work it out because you know he can do it. And a lot of us can't get past the beginning stage, much less the persistent stage, because we'll come to church when things are going well, but let something negative come up in our lives. Lord have mercy, let us get a promotion on our jobs. The supervisor offers some overtime. Lord have mercy, we'll back off of serving God. I got a phone call this morning. Pastor, I can't be at church this morning because we moving into a new house. Can I tell you what I wanted to say? What I wanted to say was that if we aren't careful and get back to putting God's house first, he's not obligated to let us move into any house. I wish Israel was here, God's chosen people. They would tell you, until we learn to put God first, we were dwelling out in the wilderness in shelters instead of being in our houses and in the temple where we should have been. God has a way of getting our attention. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Now, you know, I began to think, why do you have to move into your house on Sunday? Why couldn't you take off on work on Friday? I wish somebody would help me understand that. I'll tell you why. Because if we take off work on Thursday and Friday, then you got to use leave. Am I right, my sister? Yeah, amen. Amen, hallelujah. I better leave that alone. Persistent faith. This man was persistent. It looks like the Lord's not going to do what he needs him to do. He's going to travel this distance to get to Jesus. 20-something miles would have probably taken them a couple of days to get to where the Lord was. And he's tired. He's worn out. He's weary. And it looks like he isn't going to do it, but he's persistent. He said, Lord, he said, look, if you don't come, my son's going to die. He's persistent in spite of an obstacle that's in the way. And in spite of the fact that, Lord, there might be people around here that need to see a sign and a wonder, Lord, I'm being persistent. I still need you to do this. I'm not going anywhere until you do what I need you to do. I'm going to be persistent. But then there's a third stage. There's a third stage. And this third stage usually gets most of us. We'll call on Jesus in a desperate situation. We'll be persistent. You know, he hasn't answered it yet, but I'm still calling on the Lord. But then in the third stage, look at verse 50. Jesus said unto him, watch this. He said, go your way, your son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. The third stage of faith is trusting, obedient, and working faith. That's the third stage. Trusting, obedient, and working faith. That's a stage that most people don't reach. Because in this stage, Jesus basically says to him, I'm not going with you. I need you to have a trusting faith in me. I need you to also have an obedient, what do you mean trusting faith? Trusting faith is, you got to trust me in the fact that I'm telling you that your son is going to live, and you need to turn around and go back home and not take me with you. You need to go back home. All right. And your obedient faith is, if I tell you to go home, if I tell you that he's going to live, you just need to turn around and go back and believe what I said. And it said, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. James says faith without works is dead. You say you have faith in Jesus. If you can't put it to work, it's just dead faith. Am I right about it? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I know that God's going to work it out. I know God is in control. He's got it in the palm of his hands. But as soon as the phone ring, brother pastor, I can't make it to church today. I got this and that and the other going on, so on and so forth. You know, the thing that I loved about Deacon Mitchell Webster before he died of pancreatic cancer, he would get out of his vehicle, he would take his cell phone, he would turn it completely off, Brother Kevin, completely off. And one day I said to him, I said, Deacon Mitchell, I said, well, what if somebody calls you? He said, well, pastor, he said, if it's an emergency, they need to call 911. That's what he said. They need to call 911. He said, because I'm not a doctor, I'm not the police. He said, I can't fix it. He said, I'll go see about you after the service. He would always say that. He had an obedient, he had a working faith. And when we truly believe in Jesus, there's work that he has called us to do. And we shouldn't let everything get in the way of the work that the Lord has called us to do. That's the thing that I love about coming down here to the wilderness. I've been coming down here and preaching since 2001. This is the ministry that gave me my very first opportunity to preach and to speak to a relatively large crowd of people. Back in those days, we had 100 to 200 people in the gymnasium. But can you still preach and teach when you ain't got but 5 people? Can you still preach and teach when you don't have but 2 or 3 gathered together in the name of the Lord? Some preachers need a large congregation in order to preach. Let me tell you, just give me 1 or 2 people, Brother Kevin. It's about faithfulness. It's about obedience to the Lord. So the third stage is a trusting, obedient. Both faith and obedience is necessary to receive the promise and the help of Jesus. We will not receive his promise and his help if we do not have faith in him and obedience in what he has told us to do. Now, suppose the man had a continued standing around, waiting for Jesus to go, or kept begging Jesus, I need you to go with me, my child's going to die. No, when Jesus said, go your way, the man listened, he put his faith into action, he started walking back home, he started being obedient and doing what Jesus told him to do. That's what he did. And that's what we got to do, saints. When we look at a scripture verse in the Bible, when we get confirmation that God said, keep serving me, it's going to be worked out while you're trying to figure it out, we need to take it, and we need to believe it, and we need to continue to serve the Lord, because he's in control. He's in control. Look with me at verse 51 through 53. The first part of 53. It says, and as he was now going down, the servants met him and told him, saying, your son liveth. It's the next day. He's on his way back home. Told you he had a distance to travel. It's the next day. He's on his way back home. And his servants don't come out. They don't met him. And they said, your son liveth. And he said, wait a minute. I think I've entered into my fourth stage of faith. What's the fourth stage? The fourth stage is, look at verse 52. He inquired of them the hour when he began to amend. In other words, wait a minute. What hour did my son begin to get better? And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. He got his confirmation about when his son was healed. So your fourth stage is your confirmed faith stage. Most of us never reach the confirmed faith stage, because if you don't get past the beginning stage and step into your persistent faith stage, then you'll never be trusting and obedient and working for the Lord in your third faith stage. And when you've done that, then you get your confirmation in the fourth stage. So as he's going, he was in the act of obeying Christ when he received the glorious news. But note, both belief, obedience were essential, because faith without works is dead. Once again, my brothers and my sisters. Then it says in verse 53, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, your son liveth. That's confirmation. Have you ever called on the Lord in a desperate situation and it didn't come when you wanted to? It was 4 days late, but it was still on time. And then when the Lord did show up, Lord have mercy, you kept on working for him, you kept on serving him, you kept on praying to him, you kept on encouraging others, in spite of the fact that you were going through trials and tribulations your own self. I want to stick a pin right there. Just because we go through things in life does not give us a passport to stop talking about the goodness of the Lord. Some people might say, well, how am I going to encourage you when I'm in a storm myself? Well, I stop by to tell you, baby, you ain't got working faith. You ain't got persistent faith. You ain't got confirmed faith until you can encourage somebody else while you're going through a storm yourself. And so this confirmed faith is the fourth stage. He gets confirmation. And why is that important? It's important because if you're not careful, you might give somebody else the glory for what God did. I wish I had some help in this place this morning. See, when you get that confirmed faith, you realize that, like David said, had it not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Hallelujah. You get that confirmed faith when you realize that I know that it was the Lord who woke me up this morning. Hallelujah. Because the alarm clock didn't go off. I know that it was the Lord who protected me down through the years and through the tears. When people threaten to take my life and I look at the fact that I'm still here. Hallelujah. When I look at my health and my condition and I find myself flat on my back, but yet I realize now I can still walk. Come on, somebody. I know I got a confirmed faith that it had to be the Lord who is on my side. And so, in these stages of faith, we have the beginning stage. You don't want to stay there. Then we have the persistent faith. You don't want to stay there either. We have the trusting, obedient, and working faith. That's a good place to start excelling, because once you get there, that's when you start to get confirmation from God. That while you're trying to figure it out, he'll work it out. Here's the fifth stage, and I'm going to take my seat. Fifth stage. Look with me in the second part of verse 53. It says, and himself believed. And remember when I said earlier, I said what happens between the believing. You see, between this man believing in verse 50 and believing in the end of verse 53. Because you see, in verse 50, he was still in his desperate need. But now that he's got his confirmation that all the Lord's, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that this Jesus, who I came all this way to find, who I told about my son's situation, who tested me, made me wait around for a little bit, then gave me some instructions, told me to go on back home that my son lived. Now I realize that the same hour that he spoke a word, God about it, the same hour that he spoke a word, it was done 20 miles away. Lord have mercy, this same Jesus, all he got to do is speak a word and mountains will move. All he got to do is speak a word and cancer's got to flee. All he's got to do is speak a word and diabetes has got to go. Just speak a word and hearts get healed. Just speak a word and the Red Sea will part. Am I right about it? Just speak a word and Lazarus will hop forward. Just speak a word and blinded eyes will become opened. Just speak a word and he can take two fish and five barley loaves and feed 5,000. All he got to do is just speak a word. Brother Kevin, you read in Hebrews chapter 11. It said God just spoke a word. And with his wisdom, he formed the earth. That's faith. When all God got to do is speak a word and everything comes into existence, you know that all he got to do is speak a word. Now he believes, but this is a different type of belief. Because this belief in verse 53 says, and himself believed and his whole household. In other words, he's no longer in the beginning stage, but now he's in the witnessing stage. Does anybody know what I'm preaching about up in here? Because you see, you can't really witness for the Lord until you've gotten confirmation from the Lord that you know he can do all things but fail. Because you see, my brothers and my sisters, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all we can expect or imagine. So when you reach your fifth stage, that's when you're in the stage of witnessing and when you can tell your family. Because you see, his servants met him on the road, Brother Kevin, before he got home. And they told him that your son is living. When did this take place? Yesterday, about the seventh hour. That's when Jesus spoke a word. I got my confirmation. I know it was the Lord. So when the man gets home, he tells his household, I know we've been putting our trust in idols. I know we've been putting our trust in our money and our jobs and in our cars. But I stop by to tell you today that we are now from this day on, I wish Joshua was here. He would say, as far as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Am I right about it? We're going to serve the Lord. This is witnessing faith. This is the fifth stage. And if you ain't in the witnessing faith in your walk with the Lord, you ain't got to the fifth stage yet. He goes in and tells his household, we're going to put our trust in Jesus. Because Jesus is the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's Mary's baby. He is a bridge over troubled waters. He's water when you're thirsty. He's food when you're hungry. He's a friend when you're lonely. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He is God in the flesh. The five stages of faith. The beginning stage. The persistent faith. The trusting obedience and working faith. The confirmed faith. Stage five. Witnessing faith. What stage are you in today? How many stages have you accomplished? Every time God allows something to happen in our lives, he's given us a stage. And I don't know about you, but I want to be on the highest stage I can be on for the Lord. Beginning stage is all right because we all got to start somewhere. You got to crawl before you walk. The persistent stage is okay. The trust and obedience of working stage, faith is good. I love that confirmation stage. when you get the confirmation from God. But that witnessing stage, because when you reach that witnessing stage, that's when other souls start to get saved. That's when you start to lead folks to Christ. That's when you have the privilege of telling somebody about God's goodness. And you know, saints, we need to learn today that the real fulfillment in Christianity is not the house and cars or even the health and strength. Because you know what I've said to God? If I can't witness for you, if I can't preach for you, then let me die. I'd rather be dead than to not be able to serve God. Because the real fulfillment in Christianity is when you can witness to somebody else about the goodness of Jesus. That's the real fulfillment. It feels better to you than silver and gold.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels better to you than Häagen-Dazs ice cream. And that's my favorite. But it feels good to you. Amen. And I want to say in closing, my brothers and my sisters, it says in verse 54, this is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. And so Jesus went there looking for somebody who would have enough faith to call on him, first of all. Enough faith to not give up when the least little circumstance would come in their life. Enough faith to just do what he says. Enough faith to ask questions and make sure that it was God who did it. Enough faith to grow. This man, over a 2-day period, grew from being in a desperate situation to where he's now witnessing for the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Over a 2-day period.
Uh-huh.
I want to ask you, how many years have you been in Christ? And how long is it taking you to go from beginning faith to a witnessing faith? Because if you've been in Christ for years and you ain't able to witness to anybody yet, NASA, we have a problem. Hallelujah. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. Give God a hand clap of praise. Perhaps there's someone here today, every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps there's someone here today who has never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But today you've heard the word of God about the goodness of Jesus and the fact that he's able to do all things but fail. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus and you want to receive him today in your heart, will you just raise your hand and then put it back down? You never accepted him. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your saints today. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for the commitment. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the stages of faith that you gracefully walk us through. We give you glory, Father. And if there's anyone here today who has not reached that fifth stage, grow in, Lord. Elevate them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, we prepare our hearts and our minds for our Holy Communion. Amen.